Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GHCL Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Nagraj from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Good evening, everyone, and I hope everyone is in good health. I would like to welcome the management team of GHCL and thank them for this opportunity. We have with us today the senior management team of GHCL, represented by Mr. R. H. Jalan, Managing Director, and Mr. Raman Chopra, CFO and Executive Director of Finance, along with the finance team. I shall now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sirs.
Everyone, and warm welcome to the GHCL earnings call for the quarter ended December 31st, 2021. Our CFO, Raman, along with Manu and Abhishek from the finance team accompany me today. Our results and analyst presentation has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company's website. Concerns related to COVID-19 pandemic are not yet over, and we would keep our guard up. However, the massive vaccination program in India has been effective against the pandemic, and the impact of Omicron variant is expected to be lower than the previous variants. Economy has revived, and we expect this positive development to continue going forward. Globally, soda ash trend is strong. Demand has bounced back strongly as prices are firm. Supply has been constrained due to increase in the input cost and supply chain challenges. China has now become a net importer of soda ash. In the Indian market, overall demand scenario has improved. Demand for flat glass, container glass, and solar glass is strong. Detergent segment was slightly sluggish, which is now recovering. Supply was impacted as import into India has reduced drastically. As a result of this demand-supply situation and the higher input cost, soda ash prices has gone up. We have been able to achieve higher realization and better margin. We expect the positive trend to continue through 2022. In the spinning business, demand for yarn remains strong, supported particularly by the garment segment. As a result, spinning mills are able to pass the higher cotton prices with healthy yarn spread. We have also benefited by our focus on customers, product basket expansion, and value-added product. On 6th of December 2021, we have announced the sale of home textile business on a slump sale basis. This process is on track, and we expect the transaction to complete on or before 1st April 2022. Post completion, we will be able to reallocate this capital to our core business with higher return profile. Our earlier scheme of demerger has been withdrawn post the sale of home textile business. We have filed a fresh scheme of demerger for chemical and spinning business. We expect this new scheme to be completed by around September 2022. We are committed to sustainable growth for our core businesses, chemical and textile. In the chemical business, key drivers will be greenfield expansion of soda ash capacity by 500,000 tons, a new bulk chemical at our greenfield location. In specialty chemical, to double the sodium bicarbonate capacity to 120,000 metric tons by September 2022. Debottlenecking through plant balancing. We are also focused on augmenting backward capabilities and digital journey through AI and IoT. The spinning business, we are adding 40,000 new spindle by June 2022, which will increase the volume by 20%. We plan to further add another 20% volume growth in near future. We are also adding solar energy of 10 MW now and another 12 MW in the near future. With our existing wind energy of 25 MW, our total green energy footprint will enhance to 47 MW. This will lead to the cost competitiveness and better margin. Overall, we are well poised to capitalize various emerging opportunity across our businesses. I would now request Raman to share the quarterly financial performance. Over to you, Raman.
Thank you very much, sir. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you in our Q3 earnings call for FY22. I will share the financial highlights and segmental performance for the quarter ended 31st December 2021. The results of the home textile business have been disclosed as profit from the discontinuing business. Accordingly, the figures for all the prior periods have also been reclassified and disclosed separately. Revenue for the Q3 FY21 from the continuing business came in at 1,006 crore as compared to 709 crore in the corresponding quarter of last year. This is a growth of 42% on year-on-year basis. On a sequential basis, the revenue increased by 25% from 805 crore in Q2 FY22. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 251 crore, which is a significant increase of 38% from 183 crore in Q3 of FY21, and by 47% from 171 crore in Q2 FY22. This represents an EBITDA margin of 24.9% for the current quarter as compared to 25.6% in Q3 FY21 and 21.2% in Q2 FY22. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 163 crore, inclusive of discontinued business of rupees 10 crore, compared to 111 crore in Q3 FY21 and 109 crore in Q2 FY22. This represent a jump of almost 48% compared to corresponding quarter of last year. This demonstrates a very strong performance across all the financial parameters due to strong beat in the underlying business. Let me now share the segmental perspective. In the inorganic chemical segment, we have reported a revenue of 765 crore during the quarter, which is up by 45% as compared to 528 crore in the corresponding quarter of last year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 182 crore versus 148 crore in Q3 FY21, which translates into EBITDA margin of 23.8% for Q3 FY22 as compared to 28% in Q3 FY21. The reason for this strong performance in soda ash business is due to combination of volume growth by 12% and also due to price increases undertaken in the last few months. This led to a better margin in as increase in prices have more than offset the increase in input costs. The performance of textile business continues to be robust. As a result, revenue from the current quarter stood at 241 crore as compared to 180 crore in the corresponding quarter of last year and 233 crore in Q2 FY22. This translates into a growth of 34% on year-on-year basis and 3% on a sequential basis. EBITDA came in at 69 crore compared to 34 crore in Q3 FY21 and 65 crore in last quarter. This translates to a record EBITDA margin of 28.4% compared to 18.8% in Q3 FY21. This is also due to strong demand for the yarn and high spreads despite elevated cotton prices. We have been able to achieve better realization due to our focus on product basket expansion and value-added products. For the quarter, we generated 197 crore in cash profit after tax. Our gross debt stands at the December end stood at 618 crore compared to 768 crore at the end of FY21. This represents a net debt to equity ratio of 0.2x only. With this, I conclude my comments and would now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and good evening, sir. First of all, congratulations on very good spread numbers. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, Resham, you are audible.
Yeah. Sorry, sir. Yeah, thank you. So, I have a couple of questions. So, first is on the realization of soda ash. On an average versus Q2 to Q3, what has been an average increase in the realization of soda ash? If you can give a number.
Approximately around 6,000.
Okay. And in terms of, sir, the price hikes which we have taken during Q3, has because this will be average, so some of this will be visible in Q4 as well, right?
Yes, Resham, like I have said in the past also, that the full benefit of the price increase which we have taken will be visible only in Q4 22.
Okay, understood. And so just on the capex side, FY22, what will be your cash capex in FY23 as well, if you can share? What will be that amount?
In capex, approximately around 400 crores will be in FY22.
In 23, sir?
Approximately around 300 to 400 crores.
Oh, that's it. Because your greenfield will start from FY23, right? Or
no, listen, the process will start in FY23. However, that will take, at least from now onwards, it will take 3 years. So, real expenditure on the capex will start only after 2 years.
In 25, is it?
24 onwards, if I can say so.
24.
Capex will be 24 onwards.
Okay. So, does this mean, sir, with this kind of capex and the current cash generation, will on the balance sheet side you will practically become like net cash, because you will reduce your debt through the transaction which you have done?
Yes, Resham, you are right on that.
Okay, perfect, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umesh from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, just wanted to understand, now we are seeing really strong prices of soda ash, and we are seeing benefit from both the front. Demand is really strong as well as the supply is kind of restricted. Can you give us some sense with regards to what's the capacity addition pipeline which is there in the global front as well as in India?
See, globally, we don't see any major capex or the capacity coming in near future. At least in 22, we don't see any. In 23, some marginal expansion will take place. In one, in Saudi Arabia, we are looking at one possibility, maybe 300,000 tons. So broadly, if I take all the global scenario in 23, probably will be in the range of around 500,000 to 700,000 tons. Which will be nowhere near to the demand growth. So therefore, even 23 also we see a very strong year for soda ash demand supply situation, or the price situation.
Understood. So this basically 500 to 700,000 tons of capacity will start in 23, and probably it will take about 18 to 20 months to operationalize. Is that the correct answer?
No, I'm saying that maybe the new production may come into 2023, maybe around 500 to 700,000 tons in 2022. However, the total demand, even if I take 2% of the demand growth, which is a meager demand growth, it requires 1.2 million tons extra production. And on the other side, in China, there is a plant of 1.3 million has been just stopped. So overall, like I said, the way I look at 2023 is also going to be stronger.
Understood. And what's the capacity addition is happening in the on the India front?
No, India front, we are not looking at the many. Maybe some of the competition, maybe marginal debottlenecking may happen, but that will also happen in 23 onwards only. In 22, we are not seeing any major, any new capacity coming in.
Understood. This is really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushal Shah from Danke Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, if you can throw some light on the spinning business. You know, we were hearing that because of high cotton prices, there was a little pressure from the buyers. You know, there was some likely postponement even on the export front. So even the yarn manufacturers were a little shaky about placing orders for the new cotton and were waiting for, you know, a possible cut in import duty in the current budget. So any color on that, sir?
No, no, you are right on a couple of things. And I have been maintaining this in the past also. Currently, as Raman has said, the margin of 9 months period in this year, the margin of spinning business was 28%. And in a longer term perspective, if you look at 28% is not a sustainable margin. So therefore, surely the margin pressure is going to be visible going forward. And probably a best mill could look at around 18 to 20% margin in this business. This is what we are also expecting in our business going forward. Of course, there are a lot of volatility in the situation, and we are also very careful about our cotton coverage and our selling of the yarn. And therefore, at this point of a time, for me to say that how the cotton scenario will shape up will be difficult. But my understanding is cotton this year is not likely to be very significantly down than the current prices which are happening right now. Because overall, the crop size in India is around 7% lower than the last year. Demand from the garment segment is significantly higher. Lot of business from China is getting shifted to India. But because of that, the garments is really doing well on that. So therefore, the yarn demand is also good. So overall, the yarn demand is good. Cotton prices are very high. And even the global cotton prices are also very high. So I don't see any reduction in the cotton prices, even if this duty of 11% which has been imposed last budget, even if that goes down, I don't see any major reduction in the cotton prices. I hope I have been able to clarify your point.
So sir, just going forward for next, let's say, 1 year or so, do you expect us to move down to that number of around 20%, or we could, you know, our margins for the next 1 year or so, if not at 28%, we could maybe sustain at around 25% or so? So
no, I think you are right on that. I should not expect margin more than 20%, and achieving 20% for the industry also will be a good number.
Right, that was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good evening. Trust all well with you and your colleagues. So first thing is just to understand the demand prospects and demand supply balance. Can you explain where you see the growth potential in incremental demand? If you are looking at 2% growth, where do you see the incremental demand coming from for the global markets, and how do you see the demand supply in India, because we understand that there is some additional capacity which has come online from Rohit Surfactants, the big surfactants producer in the detergent market. So can you just put these things in perspective?
See, if you look at from the Indian perspective, Rohit Surfactants capacity has already been absorbed by the market, and today there is a tight situation because the import has gone down to 50%, and we in the near future we are not seeing that the import will go back to the normal level, because globally there is a demand supply mismatch. So surfactants capacity has been absorbed, and frankly speaking, today there is a shortage of supply in the Indian scenario. In terms of the global scenario, if I can say two things. One, this 2% demand primarily comes from your glass and that bottle as well as the flat glass. And second, it also comes from the solar glass. So I have taken a very conservative number. If you look at last 10-15 years of the number also, you will see that the demand growth will be more than 2%. So I have taken a very conservative number of, even if the 2% demand growth is there, the total requirement increase will be roughly around 1.2 or 1.3 million tons. So like I said,
in
India, I completely clearly seeing that 2022 is going to be a very robust demand, and supply restrictions will be there, and prices will remain firm. Prices can be firmer than what it is today. And globally also, I see, based on our understanding, the demand and the prices will be firm, and demand-supply situation will be in favor of the supply.
So can you just confirm what is the current global production based on whatever information you have in terms of the capacity utilization or the actual production? Is it around 16 million tons on a capacity of 71 million tons?
Yeah, 71 million tons is the total capacity, and generally is around 80-85% of the average utilization comes in the global arena.
Okay.
So you can calculate on that basis that number of the production.
Yeah, then one last thought in terms of the swap ratio between the textile division and your existing chemical business. Based on our understanding that the chemical business seems to be a little more profitable, what is the rationale for a 1:1 swap ratio unless you are expecting the textile business to be, you know, more profitable in future? What is the kind of rationale for that?
So then you see, we are doing a split, vertical split, and every shareholder is not swap ratio. It is every investor or every shareholder will get one share of textile and one share of chemical business will remain with him. So it's not a swap ratio. It's basically a vertically split of the company.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and congratulations on your numbers. So, you know, with the amount of free cash flow we are generating combined with our asset sale for our textile business, what is, you know, we've been hearing with regards to the expansion plans, et cetera, but, you know, if you could maybe outline the plans for the utilization of the cash flow, or then is the plan then to return the excess capital to the shareholders through the dividends and buybacks, because we are highly under-leveraged in terms of our balance sheet and any EBITDA we earn.
No, Ritesh, you are 100% right. At this point of a time, we are highly under-leveraged, and in 2023, we will be net cash on the balance sheet. So you are 100% right. The allocation of these resources is very important. In a profitable manner or in a responsible manner. For us, it is very, very important, because you have seen our journey in the last 10 years. So we want to be very responsible on our capital allocation, and we want to be very careful of going for any new investments. Having said that, a couple of things which are in our pipeline. One, greenfield project expansion. And you remember, I have said very clearly articulated that we will never go more than a 1:1 debt to equity ratio. One of the largest capex which we are planning is the soda ash expansion, which is around 3,000 crore. That is number one. Second, sodium bicarbonate expansion we are doing. A continuous investment into the spinning business, because you have seen, historically, if you look at our margin, has been phenomenally good in the spinning business. In last 3.5 years, average is also around 18%. So we will continue to grow our business on the spinning, investment into the green energy, soda ash, backward integration. We have a lot of discussion going on the backward integration of the raw material. Also, you have seen that the salt prices have gone up. So we are looking at some investment into the salt so that future we can secure the salt in a much better way. Over and above, two of the world's experts are engaged on identifying some of the bulk chemicals as well as chlorine and caustic soda based projects. So these are the investments which we are exploring, and I can assure all the investors that we are very clear in our understanding is that under-leveraging is also not the right thing. responsible growth is very, very important. And you will see going forward that this, growth will come into the business.
All right, so that's helpful. And the other question was with regards to, you know, we've been like reading some actually press around sodium ion technology, which could potentially replace the lithium ion, etc. Is this also another area which we're looking at all, or is it not something we're looking at on the battery space?
We are right now, like I said, two of the experts we have engaged, and they are looking at all these possibilities, and we are in a very advanced stage of their discussion. And once that is finalized, then only we will be able to comment at which area we are finally going.
Okay, I understood. So thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Some of my questions are already answered. So, on the power side, what you were talking about, that we are going to add solar capacity. So obviously our power cost has been increased significantly in last few quarters. So post completion of this solar capacity, what sort of margin improvement we could be expecting from this, and where we are actually looking at the power cost to be stabilized for us going forward?
See, two things. One, Rohit, on the in the both the businesses we have to handle separately. In soda, the major increase in the power cost is in the soda, which is primarily because of the very high energy prices, which is the coal prices or the coke prices. So this solar energy investment which we are not talking about is not related to the chemical business. And therefore this cost reduction or the increase will entirely depend on the energy prices globally. Now, having said that, the investment in the solar energy which we are talking about is only in the spinning business, where currently we are almost around, I'll give you some breakup number, interesting breakup of the number. Give me a second. Overall, we have almost around 47%, I'm talking about the spinning, 42% of our current energy in the spinning is on the renewable energy. In addition to that, we are also looking at another 20 megawatt. If that happens, it will become 54%. That means after this of this 10 megawatt which you have just recently approved, it will become 54%. In addition to that, we are almost around 12%. We are also securing the wind energy on a fixed price from the market on a long term basis. Our plan is we will want to have 80 to 85% of the energy on the renewable basis, and that will freeze our energy cost inflated. I hope I
have
been able to answer your question on this.
Yes, sir. So that means our soda ash business more or less will remain linked with the global coal prices or coke prices.
Yes. In that only small investment we are envisaging on the solar energy or the hybrid energy, which will not be very significant, and therefore that will surely be dependent on the global energy prices.
Okay, fair enough. And secondly, on this spinning business, I think our spindle capacity is right now around 1,85,000, and 40,000 is what we are going to add. Potentially, I mean, just to look at the number, after adding this capacity, what sort of peak revenue we would be expecting from this business?
See, my understanding, like I said just now, if you look at in this year, in this 12 months period of this year, the likely revenue from spinning business will be in the range of 1 second. Abhishek, can you tell me the number? Sorry, there's many paper in front of me. Abhishek, you are there on the call?
Yes, yes, sir.
Can you tell the number of likely number of revenue from the spinning business?
Around 900 crore rupees will be the spinning businesses, sir.
So 900 crore will be the spinning business revenue this year. Okay. Now we are adding another 20% next year, which will be completing by June 2022. So that will add another 20%. And in addition to that, we are also exploring the possibility of another investment into this. So gradually, what our plan is that we should go to the level of around 1,500 crores to 2,000 crores in 2-3 years of time.
Okay. Okay. And sir, in terms of price pass on in this spinning business, how it works?
In the spinning business, it's not like a simple, if I can say so, because entirely depends on the demand supply situation. Because you have seen that the margin, which in a typical way used to be around for us 15% to 18%, has gone to 28%. That means we have been able to pass more than the cost of the increase in the cost. Similarly, it can also go down. So therefore, I would not say that there is a clear-cut linking between passing of the cost to the consumer is that easy in this business. But yes, one thing also looks to me, the spinning business for next few quarters or at least 1 or 2 years, I see a strong demand and strong performance should be seen from the spinning business. But not to the extent of 28%. I said 20-22% kind of a margin should be expected out of that business.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anish Jobalia from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. In terms of the installed capacity of the total spindles in the industry versus our GHCL's market share and position, how would that be? How should we look at that, sir?
That is, I don't think any percentage we can calculate easily, because there are a large number of spinning investments are there across India. But yes, I can say that if you look at 100 spinning mills, Raman, what was the number which we have just a couple of weeks before we have seen in terms of size? We will be roughly around 25-30?
Yeah, 25-30, absolutely.
So we will be one among the 25 top mills in India.
Okay, yeah, and in terms,
you're right. Sir, it's top 15, top 15, 16.
Sorry, 15, 16. So that means we will be in the first 15, 16 spinning mills. Our capacity can be captured there. But yes, the largest is 12 lakh spindle also, and we have only 2 lakh spindle.
And sir, what is the percentage of revenues in the spinning between cotton and synthetic yarn, sir?
Oh, that number I don't have right now. We can offline. We can give it to you because we have a product basket which are multiple of this. So at this point of time, I don't have that number.
Okay, sir. Moving to the chemical side, so we had a fantastic performance in terms of EBITDA per ton. So just want to understand in terms of the spot prices of the soda ash, if you could mention that versus what was the average that we realized in the last quarter. I mean, back of the envelope calculation showed that it was close to 27,000-28,000. And also, if you could comment on if the cost per ton increase that we were seeing until the last quarter, that has stabilized. And given that, how do we see the EBITDA per ton panning out in the next quarter?
See, I can, like I just said in the beginning of the call, the realization is up by around 6,000 rupees. And overall, EBITDA is also higher. However, going forward, this number will be better than this number. I can say to that extent, because the full benefit of the price increase we have taken in the month of November will also be get reflected in the next. And there are a lot of annual contracts or the 6-monthly contracts. From January, the new contract has been done on a revised price. So you will see a good increase in the realization next quarter. And surely the EBITDA margin will also be better than what we have seen in this quarter.
So really good to hear that, but has the cost inflation subsided or that continues what we saw in this quarter?
See, my understanding is that the cost at this point of time it's very difficult to predict that it is stabilized because energy prices are very volatile.
Okay.
But I don't see too much of impact happening in the third quarter, sorry, fourth quarter, because those raw materials have been to a great extent has been secured energy. But there could be some marginal impact because of the salt prices. So, but still, the margin will be much better than the margin which we have seen in this quarter.
Okay, so fantastic, and all the very best for the next quarter. All the
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, Jalan sir, Raman sir, and sir, firstly, thank you to the investor team for setting up, for giving us a very revamped presentation this time. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah,
Saket,
I will be
here.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I think, sir, there's an echo. Hello.
No, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, yeah. So the first point is about this debottlenecking exercise that we are going through, and there would be an addition of, I think, so 50,000 tons of soda ash. So that will happen in this quarter itself. The benefit will start flowing into our volumes, or will it percolate to the next year?
No, it will happen in this quarter, Saketji, in the fourth quarter, and some benefit has already accrued in the third quarter also. Just to share with the investors community that in the month of December we had the highest production of 100,000 tons in the plant, which was the highest in the history of GSCL, and I'm sure that in the going forward also we will be able to demonstrate those kind of performance. So overall, the benefits of the debottlenecking, some has already come into the third quarter, and full benefit will be coming in the fourth quarter.
Right. Sir, you have spoken about the higher energy cost and then the impact from China. So, barring these factors, what are the factors that are supporting these prices? And what, according to you, are the factors that will keep supporting them and the key risks to them reversing, sir?
In terms of the support, is primarily the demand-supply gap globally. That is number one. Second, the supply chain cost of moving the material from one geography to another geography. So these are the two factors which is supporting this demand and supply, or the better realization of the better price. Like I said, at this point of the time in 2022 or 2023, we don't see too much of disruption happening in this. In terms of energy prices, like I said, that has already been passed on to the customers, and hopefully in the future also we will be in a position to pass on this cost, if any increase, to the customers. So hopefully, my understanding is 22 is going to be stronger.
Yeah, right, sir. And sir, another point was that when we envisage this greenfield project, at that time, the return ratios and the soda ash realization and today's realization, there is a sea change in terms of the factors also supporting them with the solar panels demand coming up, with flue gas demand also going to nurture out going forward. So how does the return ratios change today for a new greenfield project? I mean to say new players moving into this sector going forward. Are we taking too long, sir, for this project to happen, or sir, is this the course that generally happens for these large projects, sir?
Two things. It is, like I said in the past also sometimes, that it is not easy for a new entrant to come into this business because there are a lot of complexity in this business. Raw material security. One project takes 5 to 7 years, and the new competition which had come in RSPL, they took 7 years to complete the project. It's a long gestation period. In the beginning, it takes a lot of time to stabilize the plant. All those things are there. So it is not very easy for some new players to come in very quickly into this business. That is number one. Second, in terms of the timeline, see, since this kind of a project requires a lot of land, a lot of approvals, long delivery period for the equipment. So generally this kind of a project takes 5 years of time. Like you see in our case, almost 1.5 to 2 years we have already spent on acquisition of the land itself, because we require 1,000 acres of the land. Still, some portion of the land is still pending and some of the lands are still to be transferred in our name. So, and lot of approvals required from the government. So keeping that in mind, I think we are on a perfect timeline on implementation of this project.
Sir, if I have come to page number 26 of your presentation, therein for the soda ash market outlook under the China category, nation, it is mentioned that the prices significantly moderated due to higher inventory. No impact on global prices as logistic costs are very high. So what has been the price trends in China, sir? If you could give the comparison between the Chinese prices and to today the landed prices for us, sir?
Two things, Saket. On one side, Chinese scenario has changed in a few weeks, and again it has changed again. Today's latest information today is the inventory which has gone up has gone down again. Their prices was 2 months back, prices was much above than the prices which we have been selling into the Indian market. We were almost around $500 plus. Moderated means it has gone down to the level of where we are selling. So in terms of the landed cost of Chinese product in India, at this point of time, I don't see the feasibility happening at all. Like I said, China is net importer at this point of time. So I don't see any possibility of a Chinese material coming into India. The logistic cost from China to India is more than $100 to $110. So Chinese product is absolutely not feasible to come into India.
Right, sir. And sir, when you are when you have spoken about this, we are well poised to capitalize on the emerging opportunities across our businesses. For the soda ash, we are looking for this blue gas and the solar panels. Are these the only two big opportunities that we are going to we should be able to hold on to, or are there any other segment also when we have used the phrase emerging opportunities?
See, sodium bicarbonate is being used in the flue gas treatment. Okay, and that opportunity probably is gradually going to be exploded, if I can say so. Okay, but it will take some time. Recently, NTPC has started the trial because the COVID had stopped. They have started the trial, and gradually this will start happening. We are also looking at creating a separate team for making the sodium bicarbonate as a specialty chemical and a solution-based supply to the customers. But like I said, these are the emerging opportunities. It will take time. It will not happen in one day. In terms of the solar glass demand has already expanded in India. A lot of new capacity is coming into the solar glass, and that will have a direct benefit to the soda. So there it is, the demand scenario of the soda will change, and that will help a better realization, better demand, and better margin.
And last point,
the opportunity that I said, Saket, we have said that the one is the soda ash expansion, sodium bicarbonate, we are doubling the capacity. We are also looking at caustic soda and chlorine based solution, some bulk chemicals. There are a lot of opportunities we are looking at. But like again I am repeating, we want to do it the things in a more matured manner, more responsible manner. And we will not look at 1 or 2 year scenario. We will be looking at a longer term scenario, because the investment will be large, and we have to look at in the longer term which will make sense for the GSCL, and we will remain within our core competency of chemical and spinning.
Sir, on the ESG front, sir, lot of work I think have been done, and you have also spoken in your presentation annual report also. So are we looking for any ESG rating, sir? Because now there are dedicated funds that are practically bound to invest in high scoring ESG companies. So where do GSCL stand on the same? And on your vision part also, sir, if correct me, sir, earlier we have also came up with this idea of something like a market cap vision also for 2023-24. So are we sticking to any point on that front? Because I think so this could be the best period for the soda ash players to achieve whatever visions we would have thought earlier, sir? If you could throw some light. And then my last point would be on page number 36.
See, on the two points which you said on ESG, yes, our focus is there on compliance. We have done a complete scanning by some of the experts on our various parameters of the ESG as well as on the compliance. We have also hired experts on our climate change and like you said, ESG also, we are focused on that. When we should get listed on that only we will be seeing once we have a particular stage of listing. But yes, the journey is there on that side because we are very clear and very focused on that for the success of the business for a longer term perspective, it is very important that we should be on the ESG side or on the compliance side, we should be far above than the normal law requirements. So that is one thing. Second, your question was on, what was the second question?
Market cap vision for 2023-24. Earlier we have envisaged something.
Yeah, Saket, when we talk about the market capitalization, see, the two things which are required in the business, and if you do that rightly, automatically the shareholders like you will reward to the company in terms of the market capitalization. So market capitalization is an output of what we do. And the two things which are important, and we are working on that, and you have seen in the over a period of last few years, 4 or 5 years, we have delivered what we have promised. We have delivered the performance more than what you people have expected. That is one. Second is growth. Like I said, we are focused on the growth in a very, very dedicated manner. The third, the overall creating and trust and respect for the organization and the compliance and the higher standard of governance. So this is one area you have seen there also. We have scored over a period of time and our journey continues on that. So we will deliver on compliance, we will deliver on the performance, on the growth, and surely the vision, you people will achieve that vision of a company of creating a benchmark of market capitalization.
Very rightly, sir. Thank you for answering, sir, all the points, sir. On last one point was also for the sir, raw material security ke liye jo aapne bataya, how are we planning, by what percentage should be captive going forward in terms of both salt, limestone and other variables, and the impact of sir the power and fuel on margins, this will wane away going forward with the price hike, and any price hike we have taken for this month, sir?
Two things. At this point of a time, in the month of January, we have not taken any price hike. On terms of the energy, like I said, energy is very volatile. It is very difficult at this point of a time to say that how this will pan out. However, like I said, this cost increase has been passed on and our margins are better. In terms of backward integration or the security of the raw material, we are working on that. At this point of a time, we have certain discussions which are happening, but nothing is on at this which can concrete which we can share with you. But yes, focus is there on that area.
Right, sir. All the best, sir, and also for this greenfield project, sir. We hope to hear something more about it, more concrete about it in the near future. And many people, sir, in the state of Gujarat are also moving into this ethanol story. So going forward, how do our management teams look our diversification for the ethanol part of the story also, sir? And on page number 36, where we have spoken about
Mr. 22%. Kapoor?
Yeah, I'll come in the queue, sir. Thank you for the extended time, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Andre Purushottam from Ujito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Mr. Jalan, Mr. Raman, first of all, congratulations for great set of performance which we have been putting in consistently. You have our investors' appreciation. Sir, I missed out a few minutes because I got disconnected from the call, but this is a bit of a follow-up question on the global supply-demand scenario. And I wanted you to comment specifically on whether, A, there is an export opportunity to China, B, what is the situation in terms of meeting demand from Southeast Asia, And what is the situation in Turkey with respect to supply and demand? If you could give us some additional flavor on this and how it affects your business.
See, in terms of, I'll go last question first in the Turkey. What has happened is because China was one of the big exporters to Southeast Asian market and the Middle East market, and they have vacated that market. And that has been captured by the Turkish people. Second, in Europe also, the Turkish people have been able to capture some of the market. Because the demand growth is there is no new supply has come into the European market as well. And because of their fully, and they have exported some of the quantity to the China as well. Even US has also exported some of the quantity to the China as well. So in terms of the overall, if you look at, we, of course, some quantity of Turkey will continue to be coming into India. But we don't see, like I said, we don't see any volume coming in from China. Some of the volume is coming from Russia and Iran also to India. And some of the volume, some of the volume is coming from the US also. But overall, which was around 1 million tons 2 years back, or 900,000 tons, it is now almost 40% to 50% kind of a volume, 50%.
Right.
So because of this overall, no new capacity is coming in and the demand is growing, there is a overall globally demand supply situation is disbalanced. Because of that, a lot of exports or imports are not happening. In terms of your question about our possibility of export to Southeast Asia, in a volume, smaller volume, we are doing it. We are doing to Bangladesh also. We are doing to Southeast Asia also. We are doing to Nepal also. But our productions are, in a way, is we have to first service to our domestic customers. Mm-hmm. And I can only say that in the last 2-3 months, we have been able to somehow make sure that all the customers are being serviced in a manner so that they don't face any difficulty in the domestic space.
Right.
So keeping that into mind, at this point of a time, I don't see any major export required or should be done by the company to these markets, because your production will be fully consumed by the domestic players, domestic consumers.
Right, right.
And that should continue in 2022, and like I said, even 2023 also, I see a similar kind of a situation in 2023.
I was just curious, if Turkey is so far logistically from China and Southeast Asia, how do they still manage to profitably export to them?
See, first of all, as you know, that Turkey has, they don't have their own consumption, okay?
Right.
They have to export. Now they have to decide which one is more profitable to them and where they can get a better realization.
Right.
Keeping that into mind, they cannot dump everything in one market. So they are distributing something to China, something to Southeast Asia and so on, and Europe and things like that.
Right.
2 years back they were almost around 250,000 tons to India as well.
Right.
So depending upon the realization, depending upon the strategic call, they are distributing those products to the various markets.
Right. And just one final question, sir. Did you mention in the early part of the call that you were going to launch another basic chemical, which we have been in discussion? Is there any flavor you can give us on this, on the nature of this chemical, by when, etc., or it's too early to ask?
It's too early to ask, honestly, because like I said, some of the experts are working on that. And we are in regular, and probably next few months we will be discussing with them, and after that we will take a call on that. And then once we take a call, we will let you know.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. For any follow-up, may be requested to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you once again. Jalanji, if you look at the demand from soda, glass, can you quantify the consumption now in India and how you see the growth rate in the solar glass panels for the soda segment?
See, like I said, I see a very significant demand growth in the solar, because a lot of new investment into the solar glass is coming in. And overall, if I can say, in the solar panel, the demand in the next 2 years is going to be more than double.
So can we get some number in terms of what is the consumption?
No, I don't have a number. Offline, I can give you the details. Okay. Similarly, on the glass side also, flat glass side also, like I said, overall demand of is very robust, and every glass manufacturers are running at their full capacity. And new plants of the glass are also coming into the market. Keeping that into mind, my guess is around 6 to 7% minimum growth in the glass segment you can visualize going forward.
That is useful. And second, if you look at sodium bicarbonate on the flue glass segment, on the flue glass segment, segment, can you give us some sense in terms of what is the kind of growth we can expect there for your sodium bicarbonate business?
The sodium bicarbonate, I said to you that on one side, sodium bicarbonate normal growth will be there, number one. But flue gas treatment is one of the potential area which will explode, if I use the right word. But it will take some time because across the globe, the people are using the sodium bicarbonate for flue gas treatment. However, India is just started by NCPC, and we are also working on that to solution-based offering to the customers. And that, yes, it will take some time, but surely that will give a phenomenal growth into the sodium bicarbonate. And that will become a more like a specialty chemical, solution-based chemical. And we are doubling the capacity, which will happen in next 9 months from now.
Okay, thank you very much and have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Jera from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. So my first question is about exports. So is there any export that we have done during the quarter and what has been the volume?
Right now I don't have a specific number, but it will not be very significant.
Okay. And secondly, sir, what is our total power capacity as of date? And post demerger, how will this power capacity split up between your textile and chemical business?
See, power capacity for every unit has a separate power capacity. Like if you look at in soda ash, it is 100% owned generation of power in the soda ash plant, which is a captive generation. And spinning has their own power. Like I just said, we are largely on the green energy, where approximately our requirement is around 15 crore units. And out of that, like I said, after this 12 megawatt, will be around 54% will be our own generation. So keeping that into mind, Vapi has a separate power. So this has nothing to do with interdependent of any unit with anyone.
Okay, so for soda ash, everything is coal-based, right?
Yes, everything is coal-based, coal or lignite-based.
Okay. How much would be that capacity?
Raman, we have, can you answer this question?
Around 40 megawatt is the current capacity. We'll see, probably at winter D1 next, some more will get added. So all in all, probably will reach around 45 megawatt.
And this is sufficient for 100% utilization of our soda ash plant, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Arvind, your line is
open. Hello. Now, so just one question. If the shipping transport time normalizes, will import also normalize and it will go back to the normal import that we had earlier, or there is some structural change where import will always be lower than what it was pre-COVID?
See, Arvindji, two things I just want to highlight. Like I said just now, then overall there is a demand growth in the globe and the supply, no new supply is coming in, and that will definitely will reduce the import to India in spite of that if the supply chain cost comes down. That is number one. Second, if in India also the demand growth will happen, So even if some volume growth or wealth imports increases, that also will not be, will impact the overall supply or the better pricing from the Indian manufacturers. Overall, at least like I said, we don't know for a longer period of time, but for at least for 22-23, we see a phenomenal or a robust growth into the soda ash demand and overall, pricing.
And so, is it possible to indicate the various source of imports in India? What is the percentage-wise, which is the largest source of import?
Readily, I don't have a number, but I can give you the country-wise. Country, like I said, some of the quantities coming from China, from Iran. Some of the quantities coming from Russia. Some of the quantities coming from Turkey. Some of the quantities coming from Europe. And some of the quantities coming from the US. And approximately, our estimation is this year, the volume will be in the range of around 400,000 to 500,000, which is almost around 50% of the normal volume.
But generally, the largest contributor of imports, say pre-COVID, which country was the biggest source of export to India?
Turkey and US. Pre-COVID, yes. It was Turkey and US.
And that would be around 50% probably, or around ballpark?
I don't want to guess any number. I can give you the offline, the number, the specific number. I don't want to guess the number.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, Lloyd. And overall, like I said, we are always going to work on three pillars. One, the growth, which, like I said, we are already working on various possibilities. Second, performance, and because one thing which is in our control is basically to improve our cost structure. A lot of work is being done on the cost and efficiencies. Like I said, IoT and based technology. So our focus is always going to be becoming more competitive, be it soda ash or be it the spinning. In the spinning, like I said, two things we are working. One is the value-added product, and the second, we are also working on your volume growth there also, and green energy. Everywhere our focus is more to become more competitive and our growth journey. Your questions and your support is always help us to improve over a period of time. And we'll continue to do our journey and create our trust, and your respect will be much desirable to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.